Good morning, good morning. Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. We are back in this morning. It is Simon and myself as we gather across the mics, as we just share what the Lord has placed on hearts this morning. We pray that you are well wherever you are today. And we just want to say thank you. We want to encourage you. Thank you for downloading tens and thousands of downloads across everything we do, right the way through the Ealing platform, right the way through hashtag Christian Straight Talk. You know, lots of listeners are out there scattered across the world, and we're really, really grateful. And we just want to give you the heads up. The website is out there. You can go and find that, you know, hashtag Christian Straight Talk. Obviously, you can find that Straight Talk on all the platforms. And you will find everything that we're doing. We're trying to keep it loaded, keep it live. There's so much happening. Simon, we're in, aren't we?
It's great to be back across the mics. And, yeah, we just want to send our love out to everyone who's listened to this today. And, Ben, we've got some exciting news this week because the third book has just been uploaded onto Amazon. And it's Truth Talk. And there's no gimmicks. There's no... You know, there's
nothing
gimmicks,
about
there's no
self.
Workbooks, there's no nothing. The signpost just points to Jesus. It's called
Amen.
Truth Talk. It's all about Jesus. And, if you're wondering about this guy, Jesus, if you want to know a bit more about him, if you want to know what he's about, then this book on Amazon, hashtag Christian Straight Talk, sits nicely under the other two books of Men's Talk, Fear Talk, and now Truth Talk. And it's we've reduced the price of all of these, so just for it to be a little bit more accessible. But get yourself a copy of that, click on that, and within 2 days it'll be dropping through your letterbox or dropping in your postbox or wherever you are, and it will truly bless you, believe me. And I'm not just saying that because we don't make a shekel on these things.
We just want
to get this out there.
It's on the wire. It's such on the wire. It really, really is. So, yeah, Simon says, you know, go and have a look on Amazon. Go on the website, wherever you are across the world. Have a look on the website. You know, Christian Straight Talk is fully loaded with information. There's a couple of pages that we just got to carry on with and finish up, but it's all work in process. This is the real reality of what we do. We do everything by faith. Everything is done completely by faith. You know, the books have come around by faith. The website's come around completely by faith. Everything we do, and we just see the province of God, don't we? God supplies.
He supplies, and he also supplies connections, because we just hit a real top-notch connection. We'll tell you more about in the following weeks, but it's going to facilitate us doing more work within the prison ministries within the UK. And there's some great resources we can point you to as well, but that will come in time over the next couple of weeks as we open up that connection that the Lord has dropped on in our way, really. And enough of that.
We're off.
On to today's subject, and the title, Ben, is Do Whatever He Tells You. And we're going to talk about obedience today. And, and it's a tough one, and it's one where I think we've all got to examine our hearts and say, you know, have we been truly obedient to what the Lord has asked us to do or told us to do? And we're kicking off, Ben, with in the Gospel of John, and verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 5, and it's when Jesus, he's obviously doing stuff, he's been out there doing this, that, and the other, but it's been documented as his very first miracle, hasn't it, Ben?
Yeah, the Bible is very, very clear what we see here. This is the first miracle of Jesus Christ, and when you look at that scripture, verse 5 of in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, it is so clear, and what I love is his mum, it's about his mum as well. And his mum just said to the servants, it says in verse 5, his mum said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. It's that simple.
It's that simple. And if the servants had gone, who do you think you are telling us, then this would never have happened, would it? It'd never been in the book. But what happened was, Ben, they did exactly what he told them. He told them to fill up these jars, didn't he? And they drew the wine off the jars, and they were amazed because this wine was the best wine they've ever tasted. And they've gone, hold on a minute, they normally in these weddings, they feed you the best stuff first, and then when things are all
a little bit wobbly, they give you the Poundland stuff
or whatever. They throw in the cheap stuff.
You got the cheap stuff on the table.
Saved the best till last, have gone. So Jesus has just turned this water into wine, and but the most important thing is his mum said to him, "Do whatever he tells you."
That's really important because that's what this is about, and that's our life. What I'm finding fascinating, I'm going to read verse 5, it says, and I'm going to read a little bit further on, it says, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used for Jewish ceremonial washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim, you know, and it's really important to understand that we are filled to the brim. Your cup runneth over. When you think about what God has done for you and for me and Simon, you know, we are not half filled. As Jesus is telling these servants, fill it to the brim. You are filled to the brim. You're running over. Your cup runneth over. You are not half empty. You are not a quarter empty. You are filled. The Bible tells us that we are filled to the full measure. You are filled to the full measure. And as Jesus is using this and we look at this powerful story, we want to tell you today, you are filled with the glory of God.
Yeah, and the truth is that we'll only get that full transformation is if we are fully obedient to the Lord. And before we go any further, I just want to lift up Pastor Tim Delaney from Times Square Church in New York, because this... this whole podcast really has been inspired by a sermon I listened to through him. And, we'd advise anyone to get onto, that's real proper teaching. And, and the thing has been one obedient act by us.
Leads on.
One obedient act. Mm. That's worth more than 1,000 worship songs.
It really is.
1,000 sermons. Yeah. When the Lord asks you to do something and you go ahead and do it, no matter how
obscured, how difficult, how worried it may be looking, because when God gives you instruction, and as the book says in the Old Testament, Proverbs, don't come out of instruction. So the Old Testament tells us about instruction. The New Testament tells us through Jesus' mum, whatever he says, whatever the word, do whatever he tells you. So when we look at the word he, who is he? He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the living word. I am the good shepherd. So whatever he is and whatever he tells you, it's through the word of God.
It's through the word of God, Ben. And the thing is, obedience is to God. Is basically, it's very simply, it's doing what God wants. It's doing when God wants it. And how he wants it.
So there are 3 key points.
Yeah. So we can't be partially obedient or thinking, oh, I'll do that in, I hear what you're saying, Lord, but I'll do that a bit later. No, we've got to do it. Got what he wants, when he wants, and exactly how he wants. Because we're going to come into a story a little bit later where partial obedience is disobedience.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. So how many of us are disobedient? Not because of sin, because we're all that from kick point. But what we're saying is how many of us have been given instruction, we know the instruction, but we've gone off to do something else? How many ministries, how many preachers get in pulpits, how many people know that God is calling you? And it comes back to our good old friend in the Old Testament, Jonah. God gave him instruction, but he was very vocal. I ain't doing it. How many of us have done that? And life hasn't gone very well, and we've blamed the devil, but I actually believe God does to us what he done to Jonah. He will bring things in our lives. He will open doors up to get our attention. So the devil really doesn't have much airplay in our lives, because by not listening and doing what the scripture says, you've got to do what he says. God won't let it go.
Yeah, John is another example, Ben. I've got him written, you know, in the notes down here. But don't forget as well, when you've been told to do something by God and you say, no, I don't fancy that right now, they'll all, you know, the enemy will show you a way, a different way, won't he? So there was a ship, wasn't there?
There was a ship.
For all there, ready for Jonah. Jonah's supposed to go to Nineveh, but he turns around. Oh, look, there's a ship right there for him to jump on.
Got a different destination on it.
Different destination on it. So the enemy will always provide you with that.
A cruise ship.
with whatever.
It looks like Jesus wants you to get in a rowing boat, but Disney has come along with their greatest Voyager, their greatest all bells and whistling, beautiful. Are you going to go in a rowing boat or are you going to go on that beautiful cruise ship?
Very tempting, isn't it, Ben? Very
I
tempting.
Know where I am.
Yeah, you're on a cruise I'm on ship. It.
Sorry, Jesus. I know you love me, Lord. Come on, Jesus. I know you love me. Obedience.
Obedience, yeah. I can remember, we can all look back at times in our lives when the Lord's asked us to do something. Normally, probably, it's coming out of something, you know. And I can remember I was in a ministry, a great ministry. I was having meetings lined up every week. I didn't have to worry about that, but I was also in business with the guys that ran that ministry as well. And to be honest with you, some of the business stuff just didn't sit well in my spirit. And at that moment, I was back in 2014, Ben. So at that moment, everything I listened to, everything that I read was talking about doors opening up, leaving stuff behind. So I knew, and I tested it, and I prayed about it. I knew I had to leave the ministry behind, but I also knew I had to leave the business behind.
And it
was a big one because the business was successful. I was earning good money, and the ministry was success. Yeah, and so, but I knew that the Lord was closing the door on both of them. So, and it was painful, Ben, and it is painful when we go through these things. But without doing that, you know, the Lord has led me to go to some amazing places since then, and taken me. I wouldn't be sitting here now, to be honest with you, doing this with you. You know, I've been doing something different. But so the Lord knows he's not going to hurt you with what he's asking you to do. You know, it's the same with, and I was in an. See, the Lord leads me into things, and then he leads me out of them. Because it's for a season to learn from it.
Yeah.
I was in a season with a men's ministry, and eventually that season came to an end. And I just heard God saying, just let them have what they want and just walk away. And that's what I did. And I walked into something different, which has led on to something different. And we have to not hold on. We have to listen. We have to be obedient, Ben.
Sensitive to the Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's and listening can be very, very difficult to instruction when the world is showing you something very, very different. And the world lights it up, because the Bible tells us in the New Testament that the devil is an angel of light. You know, and the devil is always lighting up that pathway as much as God does. And it comes back to listening to God and trying and just focusing and saying, Lord, what are you saying to me in this situation? You're telling me, Lord, and I'm going to be like Gideon. I'm going to say, Lord, can you throw the fleece? I'm going to flick this over a minute. Lord, I just need to make this clear that I'm hearing right. Because his mum was very powerful in what she said. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Whatever God tells us to do, whatever way he leads us, will be the opposite way to what the world is doing. And we know that literally laying stuff down in the world is so, so difficult, because the flesh has such a draw. We, you know, business, life, culture, lifestyles. God is telling us, and as he told the disciples at the shoreline of Galilee, drop your nets. Very significant words that Christ said to them. By dropping their nets, they was leaving everything they had, and they was coming under instruction. So often God is calling, God is drawing, God will get his work done through you. And we're not just talking about ministerial work and leading and preaching. We're talking about just living in abundance for Jesus Christ, living in a place of freedom from God wants to take us. God rescues us. And sometimes we've got to really dig deep in our faith and stretch out and say, Lord, I believe what you're telling me to do will give me freedom.
So how do we know, Ben, really?
How do we know?
I think it's when something's come on your heart 24/7. You can't get it off it. It's on it. The Lord's, and it's not going to harm you. It's in your spirit, and you can't get it off your mind. And the thing is, Ben, and we'll come on to this a bit later and to the actual scripture, but, Ben, the Bible says, and we'll go to the scripture in a little bit later, that disobedience, Ben, is akin to witchcraft. Disobedience to the Lord is akin
completely
to witchcraft.
Right.
Partial obedience is disobedience. And obedience, Ben, it gets the attention of God. When we're obedient, you know, and so we're asking you today, if you're listening to this, what is God asking you to do? Is he asking you, is it integrity? Is it part of something you're being asked to do at work? Whether, you know, see, you coin a great phrase, you know, God don't deal under the table, does he?
No.
He doesn't deal under the table.
All above the table. You know, Christ done everything above the Passover table. Redemption's on top of the table. Everything in Christ is on the table. Everything is so, so critical. You know, everything is above. God is above. Christ is above. We are above and not beneath. We're not beneath the table. We are above the table. Everything is done in the open. And God is calling you today. But how do I listen in the noise of the world in which I live in? The world is so noisy. Family are noisy. Church is noisy. Pastors are noisy. The life, finances, everything is really noisy. Everything is drawing me. Everything is pulling me every which way. How do I listen?
I think we've got to find time to listen, and obedience will bring peace to your spirit. Mm. You know, just this week, I'll be honest with you, Ben, just this week I was having a meeting with a friend of mine, and we were talking about something where we want to get involved in together, and he mentioned the name of a church and a church leader. And to be honest with you, I was a little bit disrespectful to the church leader and to the church, and I came away and reflected on the meeting, I felt the Lord just say, you need to apologise for that. So I just sort of WhatsApped the guy and said, look, I was really disrespectful about the church leader. I do apologise. I'm sorry. You know, if we want to get involved in moving forward, then maybe it's a good thing. So we have to act on acts of stuff that the Lord. But here's the deal, Ben. Obedience has a huge effect on our future, not just our future,
Completely.
Future of our family. Look at Deuteronomy 12:28, Ben.
Flick it over. You got it there.
Yeah. It says, observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God.
So for all the way through.
Cool.
And then you come back to that scripture as well, where the children of Israel went, we're only here because of the disobedience, basically, the disobedience of our forefathers. We're in this bad position because we were birthed here. We didn't choose to come here, but our forefathers were disobedient to the God of Israel. God put them in slavery. God handed them over. So what you have is what Simon has just said, a generation after generation, and I believe that's where we are in the UK. Because of the disobedience of the church, yeah, he said it, the disobedience of the church, not preaching the gospel of Jesus
well,
Christ.
We've got Thank nearly you. 20 minutes in, you ain't mentioned
Actually,
the church.
19 minutes, 35 seconds. Because of the disobedience of the church, and you know what I mean, not preaching the gospel, they've come out and they're not doing what Jesus' mum said. Whatever Jesus says, do what he tells you. The church has come out, the majority has come out of that. So there has been a reaction to what the church has done and coming out of the word. So we got a generation after generation, two generations, probably three, where they don't even know Jesus, because the church hasn't preached Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour.
Yeah, the church, it's been disobedient, Ben.
And it's disobedient.
But look what Jesus says, Ben. How can you get away from this if you're a church leader? Look what Jesus says in John 14, 15. Just before he goes into John 14, 16. He says, Ben, quite simply, if you love me, keep my commandments.
If you love me. That's silence.
If Lord, you love me, keep my commandments.
If you love me, keep my commandments. So, so important is to keep the commandments. How many of are broken? One, two, three.
You break
four,
one, you break them
five.
All, then.
It's instantaneous.
Completely.
One, so every day, every minute, I'm breaking it, I'm breaking it. But by the power of redemption, and by the power of the love of God, and by the power of coming under conviction, saying, God, I've failed. Lord, I've come out of instruction. Lord, you told me to get six jars and I got four jars. You told me, dear God, to do this, and I didn't go to that person. I drove by that person on the roadside, and I know I should have stopped, but I kept going, and I felt your prompting, just that prompting, just to help that person. Lord, I should have phoned that person today. I should have sent them a text, but I was too busy. We can always quickly revert this and take this to the pulpit, but it's not. It's everyday life. I should have shared the gospel at work today. Why didn't I do that? I felt the instruction, but I ran from it because I was too scared. It's let your light shine every moment, every second. And the instruction is go into all the world to preach the good news, to lay hands on the sick, feed the poor, be that person that will stand in the gap. You know, we can easily put all this podcast away on leaders, but it's us as believers. I've got to do what God is telling me to do for his word. To call that person, to speak to that person, to forgive. Forgiveness is instruction.
It's instruction. And it's obedience, Ben.
And it's obedience to, Lord, I can't forgive that person. Well, you've got to, Ben. I can't forgive that abuser. Simon knows this story. I don't talk about it much. I have to forgive the abusers in my life, right back when I was a child. And for everyone that listens to this, I'm not talking about my family. It is outside my family circle. I have to be obedient to forgiveness, and I am struggling in the name of Jesus, but I have got to come under the instruction, Ben, forgive.
And the thing is, if we're not obedient, how can the Lord move on with us, Ben?
It's churning me up inside, Simon.
It eats you. And let me tell you this, you can't do this stuff in the flesh. It has to be done in the spirit. The spirit of God has to give you the strength to do it. Because if we try to do it in the flesh, we'll never, ever.
No, because in the flesh, I want to get a screwdriver and I won't say no more. I would literally.
Yeah, well, look, there's that,
you know,
that great lady, Corey Ten Boom, who was preaching on them. She was preaching on forgiveness when she saw one of the prison guards come in from Auschwitz, and he reached out his hand and he said, there's forgiveness for me too, Fraulein. And she looked at him. She couldn't. She could not shake his hand because he was one of the guards that had sent her family to the gas chambers. She had to do it in the spirit. The only way she could do it is in the spirit. And I think that's where we are, Ben. You
know? Forgiveness, I believe, is one of the hardest things to do as a believer. I believe that other people may go, well, no. But to me, because without forgiveness, I become arrogant, I think. And arrogance leads to contentment and pride. And suddenly, I'm not humble. So it opens the door.
Oh,
unforgiveness.
There's a whole world of stuff, and even Ben, to the effect that people can enjoy being the victim of something, and because when you forgive, then that victimhood will go, and you won't be a victim. You'll be a victor, and you'll be victorious.
Amen.
And people just love sitting in that pity party, but the Lord saying no, because you're sitting there, you went, I can't move on with you. What can I do with you if you are unable to move on?
So yeah, and like Jesus gives us that straight out the barrel. He says, forgive as I forgave you.
Yeah.
But hang on a minute, Lord. What did you say then? Forgive? What you got to forgive me for? You're a sinner, Ben. But I sent my son to the cross, so I forgave you before you even stretched yourself on the earth. Forgiveness is a barrier that will get you, it will either lift the arm up or keep the arm, you know. Forgiveness is like one of them automatic barriers, you know. It will hold you in your journey, or it'll open up a new journey.
It will hold you in a cage. And the thing is, you know, Nelson Mandela said that if you don't get rid of unforgiveness, then it turns into resentment quite easily, and bitterness, and that's like drinking poison and hoping the person dies. And they're going on with their lives, and you're held in that. So the Lord is saying, be obedient.
Obedience is so powerful.
And what have you done, Ben? You've actually opened up a Bible and you've got a scripture.
I found this Bible actually, like in the cupboard over there. I didn't know we had Bibles in the church, because I've been to so many other churches and it's all about self-propelled yourself. You've got your own Bible. I've got a scripture here that we're very familiar with. Proverbs chapter 4. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. What a beautiful scripture.
And we're going to look at one of the saddest men in the Bible in part two, and one of the saddest bits of disobedience that we will see, and see where it led to. And it led to just a crazy thing. And we're going to talk about Saul and what he was instructed to do and how he didn't do it. So we'll see you in part two. And
you will know the truth.
And it will set you free, Ben. Amen, amen, amen.
God bless.